the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Most Holy Trinity is the center of our faith, because all of the other mysteries of the faith lead to a single thing, and that is the unity with the Blessed Trinity. The Catholic faith exists because of the fall of man, because of original sin. And before original sin, it was meant for man to merit the beatific vision in this life by his joy over the things that God had created, and by his contemplation of God in this life before the beatific vision. He would merit to see God and then be brought to a knowledge of God face to face in the beatific vision without having to pass through death. That was the original plan. But with the intervention of the fall, it was necessary to reconstruct the human race by means of the redemption. And therefore, the mysteries of our faith have to do with this reconstruction of the human being that our Blessed Lord did. And the purpose of all of that reconstruction is to bring man back to the vision of the Blessed Trinity in heaven, to have human beings share in the life of the Blessed Trinity. And so everything, Christmas, Easter, Holy Week, all of it, Pentecost, even the Blessed Sacrament, all center on this one goal of uniting man with the Blessed Trinity. The beatific vision consists in the eternal contemplation of the Trinity. The Trinity is a mystery which exceeds the human intellect more than any other mystery of the faith. And because the Trinity is three persons in one God, when we see the Blessed Trinity, it will enthrall our intellect in such a way that we will never be able to take our eyes, that is the eyes of our intellect, off of it. And it will be one eternal moment that stands still in which we look at and contemplate the Blessed Trinity. And this will give us an eternal joy. We may not realize it, but we have a natural tendency to know the truth. Even man's pursuit of the sciences, or even the simple fact of wanting to find out what happened on the news, is a sign that the human intellect has a natural tendency to know what is true. The fact that you feel cheated when someone tells you a lie, when you are deceived, the fact that you are saddened when you realize that you adhered to something that was false, is a sign that you have a natural tendency to the truth. But God is all truth. He is supernatural truth, subsistent truth. He is the source of all truth. And therefore, because we take delight in even the simple little truths of this life, it makes sense that we will be eternally delighted, enthralled by the vision of the Blessed Trinity in heaven. Because human beings, therefore, by the plan of God, are meant to be drawn to the vision of the Blessed Trinity, the Trinity is very much part of the liturgical actions of our faith. And you see at the end of Mass that the priest blesses you in the name of the Holy Trinity. You also know that you are baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity. Now, a blessing in general is an ecclesiastical ceremony which, by invoking the name of God, it confers on a certain person or on a certain object a religious title to divine protection, either for a time or permanently. So if you come, for example, and ask the priest to bless your car, what you are asking for is a title to divine protection that that car always bring you to its proper destination with the help of God, by the providence of God, that you get where you're going without an accident. And the blessing gives you a title to that divine protection. Provided, of course, and we shall speak about this later, you receive it with the proper dispositions. And provided, of course, that you use that car in accordance with the law of God. One could not reasonably expect God to bless a car or to protect you from evil if you are using that vehicle for an evil purpose. And that's true of anything. Now, the blessing in the name of the Holy Trinity is very important, because nothing can go well without the blessing of God. It is God who is the final cause of all things. That is, it is God who draws all things to their proper ends. And if God be against something, therefore, it is impossible that it flourish. The undertakings of human beings will be in vain if God is against it. And so you see that it is very important that we receive the blessing of God in what we do. We should ask for the blessing of God in all of our undertakings, and we should seek the blessing that the priest imparts upon ourselves or upon the things that we use, as a way of asking God and obtaining from God the protection and the nod, if you want, from His divine providence, that we arrive at our proper ends, that what we are beginning come to its proper conclusion, and most importantly, the eternal salvation of our souls. So when you kneel down before the priest at Mass, or when you ask a priest for his blessing if he should visit your home, what you are doing is asking God essentially for eternal salvation. You are asking that your life be brought to its proper end, which is the vision of the Blessed Trinity, and that even all of your temporal undertakings, no matter how small, no matter how great, contribute to that final end, which is the vision of the Blessed Trinity. This is the meaning of being blessed in the name of the Blessed Trinity. And so to ask for a blessing is a fundamental act of prayer and of confidence in this divine power. And when received with the proper disposition, it gives men the title to divine protection, especially in those things which concern our eternal salvation, and secondarily in temporal things. So just as when you buy a house you receive title, or when you buy a car you receive title, so also when you receive a blessing with the proper dispositions, you receive title to the blessing of God, that is, to the protection of divine providence and the assistance that God gives to your undertakings, whereby you arrive at your proper ends. And so, from what I have said, you understand that without the blessing of God, we could not possibly go to heaven. Without the blessing of God, nothing would come to its proper conclusion. Everything would be thwarted. Everything would end in failure. The world itself would not function properly without the blessing of God. And that is why we read in Genesis that God blessed creation. He put His blessing upon creation. He blessed Abraham, He blessed Isaac, and He blessed Jacob, because those patriarchs had a very important and specific end, purpose, with regard to eternal salvation. Now, whenever God blesses anything, it is done by the three divine persons together. It is a principle in sacred theology that whenever God acts outside of himself, that is, whenever there is some activity of God outside of the three divine persons, it is the common act of the three divine persons. But nevertheless, we attribute to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost different acts which are attributed to each person because of the nature, the special nature or personality, I should say, of each person. And so, to the Father is attributed the work of creation, to the Son is attributed the work of redemption, and to the Holy Ghost is attributed the work of sanctification. The blessing of the Holy Trinity is a confirmation of these three acts and an invocation that all of these three acts come to a fruitful end. It is a crown, if you want, on our creation, a crown on our redemption, a crown on our sanctification. It is to ask God that our creation be not in vain, that our redemption be not in vain, that our sanctification, which we received at the waters of baptism, be not in vain. So that our Lord will not say of us, as he said of Judas, it would be better that we had never been born. Now we must receive blessings, first of all, with confidence and faith. St. James says, if any of you want wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all abundantly and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea that is moved and carried about by the wind. Therefore let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So when we ask, we must ask properly. St. James says in another place, you are praying, but you do not receive because you are asking badly. You are praying in the wrong way. And one of the conditions of prayer is that we ask with confidence, that we have faith in God, that he will hear us and that he will give to us what we ask him. If we waver in that faith, it is an insult to God. It is as if he does not have the power to grant what we ask him. And secondly, we must ask with a pure or at least a penitent heart. That is, we must ask in the state of sanctifying grace, or we must ask with if we are in the state of sin, a penitent heart. That is, we must ask as someone who hates his sin. If you ask God for something and at the same time love your sins, you should not expect to receive anything. And you love your sins if you fail to avoid the occasions of them. It is not a true hatred of sin to have a mere interior disgust for the things that you have done. Your hatred of sin must be efficacious. That is, it must go down deep in your soul so that you actually take the pains to avoid what leads you into sin. If you truly hate something, you will take the pains to avoid it. And so also with sin. For example, if you sin by impurity, and yet you do not take the pains to avoid the occasions of sin, then you love your sins. If, for example, someone is committing many sins of impure thoughts or impure looks, but he does not take the pains to avoid the filth of the television set and sits down every day and watches the filth of the television set, that is a man who loves his sins. No matter what he should say within himself, I wish I could stop sinning, or I don't like impurity, or this is a terrible burden to me. That is a man who loves his sins. And all of the rhetoric that he gives to the disgust over his sins is superficial. He loves his sins because he goes back to them. He goes back to the occasions. And that is a heart that is not penitent and should not expect to receive blessing from God. Sacred Scripture says, the countenance of the Lord is against those that do evil things. And if therefore you live a life in which you have loved sin, you should expect a death in which you will love sin. For it is true that for the most part, you will die in the same way that you lived. It is true. Occasionally, there is a great mercy of God, whereby great sinners are brought back on their deathbeds to the love of God and to penance. But ordinarily, you will die in the same way that you lived. If you live constantly in the state of mortal sin, constantly, most probably you will die in the state of mortal sin. And so that is why the confessional exists, so that you relinquish your love of sin in order to be absolved from your sins, in order to see one day the Blessed Trinity. So unite your own prayer to the priest's blessing when you are blessed, so that all of your undertakings, but especially the undertaking, the great undertaking of your life, which is your eternal salvation, be brought to its proper end, and you may see the Blessed Trinity in heaven forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.